You know, your journey as a Native American is different than some of these who've been actually tried to be removed. Like I interviewed Wilma Mankiller, and she talked about the Cherokees and the removal. She was removed to San Francisco, and they thought they were going to just take the culture of the Indians away from them. You were able to escape that removal of the Potawatomis?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay.
It's all there.
So they, too, were in on that removal. But you, your personal life wasn't affected.
Oh, it is.
Okay, tell me then.
Well, all the way through. All the way through. And it's a continuing story. I'm not an activist. I had a look at that. I found that I was a person that... I'm a peace chief group. I come from the peace chief camp, I found. So I don't talk about that very much. I only touched on it a little bit with Shalako because it was part of Dad's things. I'm a forward looker. A present looker and a forward looker to spirit. Mind, heart, and body are a rough road, and I elect to walk the spirit path. Potawatomis were removed from the Great Lakes area. It's a rougher story than the Cherokees. In a way, they're all rough. And, of course, the Creeks were removed at the same time the Cherokees were. But the Potawatomis were removed, and they went to a place in Iowa called the Bluffs area first, some there, sent some down to Mayetta area, and Prairie Band was settled, ultimately in Kansas, north of Topeka, but they were shunted around for a little bit, Osawatomie, a couple of other places. Dang, it was hard to take care of us and get us gone and out of the way and all that. And have it work. Dang, you know, they'd do this. And we didn't cooperate and didn't work and all that. And then the Kansas band, there was a lot of intermarriage of people that came from Indiana and went to Kansas. And then Dad and his group came from Indiana to Oklahoma through Kansas. So the people that had intermarried were really invited to locate in Oklahoma. Yeah. So we are citizen Potawatomi band, and we took citizenship and moved out of tribal status, per se. Yeah. So there was an ensuing loss of culture, because you didn't have two people bringing along a culture, but you only had one. And the dominant culture usually won out, because it was the one that went to work and had ownership and had citizenship. It's a long old story. The removals, the thing about removals is that it creates an angst in the population that never goes away when you're off of your homeland. Not relating to a place in the United States or America as a point of origin for your culture, it really can only be maybe referred back to in terms of nostalgia for Ireland or Germany or Italy, Sicily. There's a lot more of that appreciation that's coming forward now, because a lot of people are finding, you know, it's the cult of the individual and the oppression, the European oppression that created that. Created a legacy that we are all struggling with still today, because that oppression created a political atmosphere where the American public largely does not want to know or be involved in the political process. And look what we have. Look what we have created for ourselves. An apathetic voter public. Uninformed. One that does not want to be informed. It's not ignorant, but ignorant by affinity, not even choice. Choice never came into it. It's an affinity going way, way back to unspeakable tragedy in Europe. The majority of Americans that came had horrible histories. I think that's why we see the resurgence of culinary arts schools where people are learning how to cook French, German, Spanish, Italian, English, Irish foods again, and some of the crafts and skills are coming forward that were necessary and valuable in that time. I think the cult of the individual grew up in part from the systematic theft of the tribal identity that was not so far in the past of most Europeans, the theft of it. And it created a bit of a poverty mentality, which is so rank. To identify with poverty instead of simplicity, what a toll that takes.
Are you concerned that the younger children, say, of the Potawatomi, are they being taught what ancestors went through, removal and what you just talked about, or are they not interested?
Some are and some aren't. We nearly lost the language, like a lot of tribes, due to the boarding school experience and assimilation policies. In recent years, there's been a resurgence, a vast and important and profound resurgence in learning the languages. Because when you lose the language, the culture is gone. And they knew what they were doing by saying it. Because when you lose the language, you've lost it. You know, I mean, you've lost the line of thought and you've lost the line of connection with the Creator through ceremony, through socializing, through all the different orders. I've been happy to be a part of that process in the last number of years because I've initiated the study of Potawatomi myself. The majority of the bands are still in Wisconsin, Michigan, Canada that didn't leave. We travel back there once a year. All the bands gather and catch up on what's going on. And in the last couple of years, the expansion of the language studies are phenomenal, phenomenal. There's been a generation come in, which is the seventh generation. The prophet said when the Americas were colonized that when the seventh generation came along, colonization was going to be all over. The scars of colonization would begin to fade and people would find new ways to move on. It's happened, I'm happy to say. The seventh generation is getting a grip. Yes. So I see a lot of the language that's being reinstituted. Now when I'm up there, I see little kids walking around talking Potawatomi and their parents can't. And others of us can't, but we're getting there. Hmm. We're working really hard. I'm studying online at this point with a very good teacher, 3 days a week, and alternate weeks, another class. When I go to Michigan, one of the things that I notice, and one of the reasons they've been able to keep what they have and to renew from that, is because they were not removed. The ones of us that nearly lost it the most were the ones that were removed. So I'm happy to see the Cherokee, the Creek, you know, all the different language studies coming back because it's an enrichment process. And I'm so happy to see French, German, and Spanish taught in schools because there is a genetic connection that goes back to our ancestors that we deny at our peril. We can live without them, but it's a little amputated. And it's not honoring.
In Potawatomi, can you say a parting greeting here?
Oh, sure. Bonjour. Bonjour, Nikan. The medicine that's built into Bonjour, Nikan, which says hello. Bonjour is hello, and Nikan means my bone, which acknowledges we are the same bone. So when I say Bonjour, Nikan to you, it's a brother-sister greeting and not just hello or hi.
Very nice. Thank you.
Indeshnikas Wabaksekwe. My name is Wabaksekwe, means dawn woman. Wabaksekwe. Wabak. The dawn. It's the white dawn before the light comes into the sky fully. And kwe is woman. Wabaksekwe. Bamapi. Until we come together again. Miigwech. Wemene. Gichi miigwech. Thank you. Thank you very, very much, John Erling.
Thank you. That was fun. I enjoyed this very, very much. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts.